Hey, everybody, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I am here with the guy who won me some money, who pulled off a huge win, big upset, but he wasn't upset to him because
upset.
It was an upset as far as the odds go, but it wasn't an upset as far as like what we knew what you were capable of doing. Jake Ellenberger is here, man.
Right, it's good to be here, man.
So stoked. By the way, the podcast is on Tip a Fighter, so we're on Tip a Fighter. You can tip us if you like the podcast. Throw us some cash. We gladly take it. We got some big tips actually this week. Last week we got some good. Thank you for everyone who tipped us.
That's awesome.
Thank you very much. And I also want to thank our sponsor as far as Fighters DNA. Do you have it? Ellenberger, you have it, man. Listen, for the mats, for the streets, every place in between, the hours spent sharpening steel against steel plays out in a line that says, best what doesn't need to be said. You've been given fair warning. Started by bona fide Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu practitioners, Fighters DNA apparel exists as both a warning sign and signal. Sometimes better to look good while kicking ass than look bad while kicking ass. Okay, so check out Fighters DNA. Look, I'm sure most clothing, they're really, you know, abstractions outside the design. The fundamental shape changes little. Their design actually acts as the Rosetta Stone for all that follows. They're sleek, swift, adept, and adapted to wherever you're planning to be. Check it out. FightersDNA.com. FightersDNA.com.
Bravo.
And
check
by the
it
way,
out.
And Joe Perez is here, by the way.
What's
Joe
up,
the
guys?
Kid Perez. Now, we only have 40 minutes because Jake was 40 minutes late. However, he showed up, so that's all that matters. We have all the way from Orange County to be here. Thank you. Jake, how are you feeling?
I'm good, man. I'm good. It's, you know, life's always crazy with kids, any kids. Doesn't matter their fucking age, but My boy, he's about 14 months old now, but there's always something, like, it seems like something always happens when you're walking out the door.
Right.
It seems like that's just been the routine now, but
yeah, but forget about kids. Let's talk about your fighting career. Listen, okay? Now,
kids don't matter.
Kids don't. Yeah. Listen, you came out,
Thanks,
man. Everyone was writing you off, and I was like, I had them doing some research, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I was asking people around your gym, strictly Benny, pretty much. Benny. I said, how does Jake look?
Guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, right.
And Benny told me Jake is back. He goes, Jake is kicking ass at the gym. And he's told me when you weren't there. Because he would say, hey,
yeah,
man,
yeah.
If you talk to Jake, tell him please come back to the gym, this and that. But he was like, listen, Jake is back. The old Ellenberger's back. So I was telling everyone that. I said, guys, put your money on Ellenberger, okay? This kid's not going to lie to me because he's giving me. Now, what? How does it feel? What was the change? What was the difference?
You know, there was a little. I mean, there was some changes in training as far as like, you know, when I started consistently training back at Kings, there's so many. You know, it's gotten a little deeper. The depth of the gym's gotten better. There's so many guys, but yeah, they all helped me out a lot. I mean, it's. All guys that I've had good relationships with, Dos Anjos, Benny, and just being consistent with them, man. It's been, yeah, so it was good. I don't think there was, to be honest, there wasn't a lot of changes. I mean, I think that I was definitely more confident going into the fight, and for me, it's just getting my mind straight. You know what I mean? It is easy as that sounds, just keeping the mind straight, and you know, then it's a lot easier to fight.
I was going crazy.
It's one of those fights that, like, is what MMA is all about, those jumping up out of your chair moments.
I was
screaming.
Going ballistic. Now, when you first caught him, right, you came out with two jabs and a right,
uh-huh.
and he goes flying back.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed you came, were you worried about emptying the gas tank and kind of, because you know Matt Brown's known for coming back? And
yeah, oh yeah. I mean, you know, that's something just watching him fight in a lot of the fights that he's come back, he's known for that. Like, he comes back, it's so hard to put that guy away, but you know, it's funny. I was with in the back. You know, we get there. Like, they put us like 3 hours before the fight usually, and it's just like I take a nap and stuff. But anyway, Master Cordero and Guy, a couple of guys in the back. They were like, you know, they're probably gonna hurt him. It's funny how the first like 10 seconds of the fight went exactly how they said it was. They're like, you're gonna hurt him at some point. You know, then obviously I didn't know it was gonna be right then, but like you need to measure. You need to be smart. You know, when you're going to finish him, because this guy's obviously known for coming back and guys spending the tank trying to finish him. But so, you know, initially, yeah, I was like, it's hard to really kind of see how hurt he is. It doesn't matter how hurt he is unless he's dead. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
He's one of those guys.
Now, when he was coming back, was there ever like a oh shit moment in your head? Like, oh, this is going to be harder than I thought it was
going
to be?
Well, I expected that going into the fight. You know, before it even started, I was like, this, you know, it's going to be a fucking battle. But I think it was just for me to just keep moving, you know, keep moving. He moves, I move, that kind of thing. But, you know, I was in great shape. I was in.
I didn't even know that you knew how to kick, by the way. I never seen you throw a kick in your career. That's the first kick you've thrown in that fight?
No, but it's been, yeah, it's not a lot. I'm not a big kicker, but yeah, it's funny though, when I first started training, kickboxing was the first thing I started training in. I used to kick a lot earlier in my career, and then I kind of, when I was grappling more and wrestling more, I kind of got away from it.
I wasn't sure that you knew how to kick. I was like, oh, I didn't know that you know that was a part of the rules. You're allowed to kick. It was awesome, dude. I was so pumped for you, man.
Thanks,
I mean,
man.
Because I was there at the Stephen Thompson fight.
Yeah.
And I was front row seat, and nothing depressed me more than to see that happening, because I was like, I didn't know how hurt you were. And luckily, you like texted me an hour later. You're like, I'm fine. It's cool. Don't worry about it. But yeah. I was like, but to see, like, I don't know, something about like being with somebody when they're at the top, they fall a little bit, and they're back at the top. Mm-hmm. You feel, I don't know. I was running around going, "We did it, we did it," and people are like, "We? What the fuck? The fuck did you do? You did absolutely nothing." I'm like, "No, man, we did it, we did it."
Yeah, fuck you, we did it.
Yeah, I was so happy, man. Now, listen, I know you don't want to bash your old trainers, right? But, you know, going to...
I don't know where this is going.
Okay, listen. So, when... Okay, I was a little concerned when you went to Edmund, Coach Edmund, right? He had you boxing with Armenians every day, right? now, you let, was that smart, you think, in hindsight? You kind of wish you never went to Coach Edmund?
No, I don't regret anything. I mean, you know what? Every fight has its own circumstances. I mean, there's so many variables that go into it. But again, it comes down to my, you know, I think it comes down to just myself and my mindset. You know what I mean?
Okay, so you regret Coach Edmund. All right, then we had the podcast where you came in here with some type of like war expert or something. The guy, but he'd never been to war. You came in there with that guy who was like yelling incoming during your fights, and you know how I'm talking about, right?
Torn, yeah,
yeah, yeah. Torn. That guy was a little crazy. He was like throwing grenades at you during practice and stuff. but you weren't hit with him for this one, right?
No. I mean, I still talk to him and stuff. But yeah, he's definitely a different cat.
Okay, because he was yelling like bonsai and stuff, and it wasn't very clear. So.
Not necessarily. I mean, he trains a lot of, like, the Border Patrol, like SEAL team kind of stuff. But, you know, obviously that's a different scenario.
Yeah, you're not planting bombs in an octagon or anything. I mean, it's sort of like...
No, and there's no surprise attack.
There's no surprise attack. Because he was yelling surprise attack and stuff and, like, you know, ISIS and stuff. It was very strange.
Is he supposed to be, like, a mental coach?
Yeah. Precisely. It's kind of like a perception kind of guy. Like, he... Be able to manipulate your perception and like the way you perceive stress.
But he was throwing Jason Rivers during his training and stuff. It was very strange. it was like
catch a salmon.
Yeah, there were guys in turbans running around. Okay, it was very bizarre. Now
javelins at me and shit.
But now we're back at Kings, right? We're not doing crazy training. We're just training MMA, right? No, we're back at Cordero because I feel like this is a good place for you.
Well, I started training with this movement guy. I'm kidding. No, I'm joking. That's fucking not true. No. Yeah, no, it's been good, man. It's consistent. Like I said, just simplifying things. But yeah, I got a lot of good. You know, let me make one point. I mean, I look a lot at the past few years and a lot of the ups and downs, and it's like I think that for a lot of the shortcomings that I've had, it's a lot of it's just been too many things, you know what I mean, not being able to kind of simplify stuff like the way I've been able to do more recently. But you know, I don't even want to focus on the past. Just
no. By the way,
we're good, man. We're
the Underground
good.
Had a really funny thread about you. Did you
really?
Read it?
No, I didn't see it.
Oh, I actually saved it, and they have like nicknames for people. Let me see if I can find it, because like they have like motivated BJ Penn. You know, that was one. And
yeah.
Then I gotta find this because they had one for you, which I thought was really really funny. Like these guys are very very clever. These guys.
There's some funny stuff on that.
Oh, absolutely.
I haven't been on there in a while, but I hear it's great.
They had a whole thing for you. Let me see if I can find it. By the way, so while I'm looking this up, Rory McDonald went to Bellator. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Look, if he's getting paid more, that's all that matters.
What I heard. I heard they came back and tried to get the UFC to match or whatever. But hey, man, it's whatever you got to do. Whatever's best for you.
Right. I mean, I think he's going to dominate in Bellator. Sure. I mean, I can't see anybody beating him. Although
the champ's pretty tough.
Who's the champ? Right, the guy that beat Henderson.
The Russian. Yeah.
And then MVP. We don't know how good he is yet. Michael Venom Page.
Oh.
The guy that, you know that guy is?
Yeah.
The crazy karate guy. I feel like those guys are really hard. I mean, you know from fighting Wonder Boy, it's hard to get guys in the gym that can emulate that, you know, right? I mean,
yeah. I think for starters, too, it's like you don't see – it's really hard to make that successful in martial – you know, that traditional karate style or – there's a lot of – I mean, you look at judo, you look at Ronda. Like, people don't realize, you know how hard it is to get – no matter how good you are, like, to be successful with certain – like, one martial art or a traditional, you know, karate style like a Machida or a Thompson. Like, it's extremely hard. I mean, just to be able to be successful, and then not to mention prepare for something like, because you don't see it, because to be honest, it's not super successful. I mean, you look at how many people in the sport train judo, and quite a bit do. I think especially after Ronda Rousey, but I don't think there hasn't been anybody besides her that can really make it successful.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I mean, but how do you? I mean, this guy MVP, he just. I guess he's like a 10th Dan or some kind of ridiculous karate guy. Mm. And he does these strange moves where his hands are down, but he's relying slowly on quickness. Not just solely on quickness, but that's one of his main things. And it reminds me of a little bit like Roy Jones in his prime, where eventually the speed goes and people can catch you because all the stuff that you're doing, whatever. But, you know, he's good.
Absolutely. I just reminding me of this. When Lyoto Machida was training for Dan Henderson, I'd throw this out there, but he didn't lose one round in training. He went through the whole camp at Kings, and I was sparring with him last week, and I was like, this guy, it's really crazy because like he's getting faster, like he's been training with Nick Kerson, and the guy, it's crazy to think like he never lost a round in the whole camp, like leading up to the, but it's just true. Like I spar with him and he's one of the hardest guys like that style to fight.
Yeah. By the way, I can't find it, but the whole thing was like, it was back against a wall, Ellenberger. That was one of it. Possibly going to Bellator, Ellenberger. it was like a whole thing. It was one of the funniest threads I've like read in a while. I was actually going to show it to you. I think you would really appreciate it. I can't find it. It was like 15 pages of types
humor.
Of nickname
yeah.
of like almost unemployed Ellenberger. It was just like, it was great. It
unemployment was, line Ellenberger. I can't wait.
I'm going to try to find it.
Did you happen to watch these Mongolians that just started to strip naked?
Oh yeah,
contesting it like that was the best part of the Olympics.
It was. That was, somebody said, Adam, next time your kid loses a close, you know what to do.
I wouldn't even know what to, like, let's say you're the ref or you're one of the guy officials on the side, and then someone just gets, you're like,
yeah, what are you gonna do?
I don't even know what to do, like. Security.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. I was surprised that Burroughs didn't win the Olympics. I figured.
Yeah, man. It is. It's surprising. I mean, I gotta say, like with him, I mean, you know the sport of wrestling, but it's like to see at that level to be able to win. Like, I mean, you see some people win one like a world title or even to medal in the Olympics. But to do what he's done, you know, three world title, three-time world champ and Olympic champ, like. Is unheard of, you know what I mean? So just to even get where he's gotten is crazy to think about. But yeah, I mean, like it's such a, people don't realize it's such a
so mental
game of small inches. You know what I mean? I mean, the guy he's lost to, he's beat before. I mean,
oh really?
Yeah, it's one of those like you can lose by a point, but anyway, it's.
So who do you want to fight next?
Yeah. Man, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to me.
Anyone.
You know? Yeah.
But you're thinking about it.
Well, yeah, I am. It's funny. My manager was talking to me a couple nights ago, and he was asking me the same thing. Like, when do you want to fight? This and that. And we were looking at, like, the whole top 15 kind of stuff. And we both had a laugh. It was like, well, fuck, Matt Brown is probably the toughest guy on that list.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And as far as, like, when you look back, you're like, you know, not many guys are lining up to fight him. And because I was saying, like, yeah, I really don't care. Like, oh, whoever. But, yeah. Going forward, you know, anybody in the top 10 would be great.
Were you surprised that Woodley beat Lawler?
I was. I mean, if it was going to happen, it was going to probably happen in that, you know, in that first round, first or second round. But, yeah, I think a lot of people were.
I wasn't. For some reason, I had money on him, too. I won 50 out of 50 bucks, got me 300, or 40, got me 300 on you and I, because they trained together. And I just felt like Lawler's been in so many wars that his chin had to go at some time.
Well,
and,
yeah.
And I'm not sure his chin even went, but Woodley hit so caught. Damn hard.
Yeah. I mean, Lawler, he's been in a lot of fucking battles, man. And I knew eventually he's going to get caught. It's just a matter of when. I didn't know it.
I mean, you've been hit a lot. Do you ever notice sometimes you, like, forget shit or, like, that you're like, man, maybe I've been hit too many times?
Well, thankfully not. Not that I know of.
Yeah. That's good.
No. And I haven't really, I mean... Let's look back at, like, Lawler. I mean, he's been in Strike Force Wars. Like, I've been in a few. Like, don't get me wrong, I've been in a few. But, like, I would rather be the guy to get beat in the first round than fucking five-round crazy.
Really?
War. Yeah. Like, I don't need brain damage. I don't want to...
You never lost in the first round. Oh, except for the Wonder Boy. But that fucking weird, crazy... Well, and you had him hurt.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at, like, the battles that I've been in. Like, me and Robbie, when we fought, that was, you know, it was back and forth. But
I feel like you hurt him, too, in the third, don't you?
Yeah, I did. But, again, I haven't had a lot of those, you know, so I could go without those.
Don't get nice again, okay? I feel like you get nice.
I'll fucking break a chair over your head right
Thank
now.
Thank you very much. That's what I want to hear. That's the Jake Ellenberger. I'm so happy for you, by the way. I was like, I don't break a chair on me. All right, so... Now, what was the other thing? All right, so this week, the fights. A couple fights we got of this. Bellator, you going to Bellator tomorrow night?
Yeah, I think so.
So Ben Henderson's fighting. Little Pitbull at 55. But Pitbull's going up a weight class to fight him. I have Ben Henderson.
Oh, so Benson went down to 55, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which I think is good. I think he was too small for 170.
Yeah, he's a fantastic fighter either weight class, but that's probably a little more comfortable for him.
Yeah.
How do you think Benson wins?
I just think he's fought better guys, a better grinder. I think he uses his wrestling. His striking isn't, like, top-notch, but when he puts it all together, his legs are so... He's one of those guys that's, like, so big for 55, but then small for 70. It's strange. Like, you see him against 70, 55-pounders, his thighs are, like, bigger
yeah,
than...
Yeah, he's not real small. I mean, I don't know. I've seen him, you know, I've seen him at wrestling tournaments, and I've seen him at fights, and... He's a good sized guy. I don't think he's a small welterweight. He's a huge lightweight.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
He looks small when he fought like Brandon Thatch. He looks smaller than Brandon. And when he fought the Russian from Bellator.
I looked tiny when I fought Matt Brown. The guy's tall.
But, yeah, but Brown
is tall too.
Yeah, but you look jacked though. Brown had some weird body, like
dad bod going on over there.
He had some strange dad bod going. I was like Matt Brown.
Really?
He just didn't look like he's never looked ripped though. But he's just so fucking tough. He's so tough. He's so skilled.
Yeah, and he can keep a pace. That's for sure.
Did the Mohawk piss you off at all or no?
No, you know what? It's funny. People were like kind of bagging on him about his haircut, and then I heard his story, and he got it because his kids got it. So I was like, okay, that's cool, man. You know, his kids got it, and then he wanted to show his kids. You know, he'll do it too. All right.
Gotcha.
All right. I got you.
Adam, will you pick, like, for a fighter to win based on one of the fighters' haircuts? Like, the last card, that Asian dude had the tremendous, like, blonde haircut.
Yeah, that looked terrible. But then Lorenz Larkin has the worst haircut in the game, and he went out and destroyed Neil Magny. So it's like, you know.
There's some pretty bad ones.
Cody Walker is fighting AJ McKee. We had Cody on the thing, Antonio McGee's kid. Remember Antonio McGee?
Yeah, yeah.
He's 4-0. He's good. Although, I don't know. Walker.
Who's he fighting?
Cody Walker. We had him on the show last week. He took the fight on 1 week notice. But he fought 2 weeks ago and won in 13 seconds. And he's fought good guys. And he's 8-4 with 8 finishes versus a guy who's 4-0. McKee's really good. But we'll see. And it's a tough fight. I don't know. Walker's a heavy underdog. But from talking to him, I kind of got confident in him.
He's such a nice guy. Like, you have to go for him. And he's been on the show, so you have no other choice.
Derek Anderson's fighting Saad Awad. You know that, guys? You know those guys?
I've heard his name.
Awesome. Georgie versus Bubba. Now, Bubba has been training with you over at Kings.
Yeah, he's been at Kings. I haven't trained with him like myself a lot. The last couple weeks I had been off. But, no, man, he's working his butt off. He looks good in the gym for sure.
You think he beats Georgie?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? That's not an easy fight, but I think so. I think he wins this fight.
I think so, too. Even though Georgie won the first fight, choked him out, I think Bubba doesn't...
He doesn't make that mistake
again.
Leave
his neck out there.
Yeah.
Now, in the UFC news, by the way, word is that somebody told me yesterday on my Periscope that they're thinking about doing Donald Cerrone versus Kelvin Gastelum next.
What?
Yeah, which...
Is Cowboy a free agent?
Yeah, but I heard he says, I'm a UFC fighter, I'm not going to Bellator.
Right.
Someone from your Periscope?
Somebody from Periscope said that they're thinking about doing...
It must be true.
Kelvin Gastelum I mean...
It'd be a fun fight.
Yeah, who do you think wins that fight?
I don't know, Cowboys look great. You know, it's funny, even usually when guys go up a weight class, they don't do as good or they don't look as good, and Cowboy, man, he looked great.
Were you surprised how he beat Rick Story?
Not really. It's good. I mean, stylistically, it was a great fight for him. But no, I don't think, you know, Story's he likes to pull guys into a brawl. He's not super technical, but yeah. I'm not.
One of my favorite stories though is when you and Rick Story got into a fight in the hospital afterwards, right? Or backstage? What was it? Backstage or the hospital? You were throwing chairs at each other?
In the back.
In the back?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite. Tell us the story again.
Nah, Adam, it's not time for that. We don't got that much time today, so you know what I mean.
All right, so Damian Maia versus Carlos Condit. Such a weird fight.
It's weird, huh?
Yeah, because Damian Maia, I feel like, can beat anybody with his jiu-jitsu. But Carlos Condit is always a gamer. Have we ever seen Carlos Condit dominated in the octagon?
I don't think so.
No. Except for your fight with him, right? That was a good fight.
The first round, yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty one-sided. But yeah, you know, exactly. He's a gamer, man. He's hard to put away.
So who wins this fight, Jake?
I think Condit does. I think it's going to, you know, the later the fight goes, it definitely favors him. He's kind of like a... He's like a Matt Brown. He's durable. He's an endurance guy. But Condit can hold his own. You know, his grappling's good. He's not a guy who's just going to get taken down and submitted. You know, like some of the retreads that Maya's fought. But I think Condit.
The retreads?
Yeah.
What's a retread?
It's just a word for for a jobber. You know, but
I like that.
I think Condit wins it though.
Now, Jake. By the way, after your fight, right? Yeah, you're. Girlfriend is smoking hot. I mean, I've seen her in bikinis. She's like, I mean, she's a 10. Right behind my fiance. I mean, she's right. she's super hot. Now that night, okay, you're in Omaha. Okay, you win your fight.
In Atlanta.
Atlanta. Okay, yeah. You win your fight. You're back at the hotel. Does she just rock your world? Does she say, "Hey, Jake, I'm so happy you're back on track"? And just like, I mean, was it insane?
No way. To kind of not to damper the story, but she didn't come to Atlanta or my son. They were in California though.
All right. So how many chicks that night did you hook?
No,
it?
No, I'm kidding. No.
So when did you see her? You went back to Omaha afterwards, right?
No, I went back to California.
Okay. Yeah. So when you get back to California, right? You get off the plane, you go home. Is she in lingerie? Is she like said? Does she have a sign saying like Jake Ellenberger, like future champion, like comeback of the year? Is it insane? Is there smoke and all types of fog and candles and everything?
Hey, did you make me a sandwich?
Yeah, I did. I got you the turkey sandwich.
Okay. I appreciate it.
Dodgeball.
It looks good.
All right. Okay. Anthony Pettis versus Charles Oliveira.
That's a good fight, man. I can't wait to watch that fight. I like Pettis. I've been a Pettis fan, but that's a tough fight. He's not. You know, that's gonna be one of those. You know, when you see that Oliveira name, you're like, "Fuck, this kid's no joke." He's I think he's still maturing.
Do Silva, by the way, is doing a great job in matchmaking. I don't know what is going on because the last two things I bet on, the parlays have been pretty easy. Like, I'm like, oh, this guy's going to win, that guy's going to win. But, I mean, how do you bet on Maia versus Condit? It's like, there's so many, it's that's a tough fight to bet on.
Well, and if I was a betting man, which I am.
Yes.
I would bet the props. I'd bet maybe, like, you know, the distance, how far it goes, how many rounds start, that kind of thing.
Really?
Starts round three. Yeah, you know, it's tough picking winner. I mean, unless you're just like, oh, this guy, unless you got a big favorite, I'm sorry, a big underdog, then it's like, and it's a close fight. You're obviously going to bet on the underdog because the value is there. But, yeah, with a fight like that, I would bet on, like, starts round three or goes how many rounds.
What website do you use?
I use Five Dimes.
Oh, nice.
Am I allowed to talk about that?
Yes, you are. They didn't pay me. They finally paid me my Five Dimes account. All right, so Pettis versus Oliveira. This another one. I assume Pettis is going to win, but he's lost three in a row.
But look at the guys he's lost to, man.
Absolutely.
I you know what I mean? It's not to, like, defend him, but, like, people are always like, oh, this guy's... Trust me, I've been written off a few times. This fucking guy.
Yeah, like, when you lost 12 in a row, people were saying...
12 in a row? Where's the chair? Damn it, where's the chair? No, but, you know, it's like, again, you know, he's lost two or three, whatever it is, but then you look at the guys, you're like, he's fought some fucking savages. Mm-hmm. Some good dudes.
That's very true. So I would say Pettis, based on level of opposition where he was, but can a guy get comfortable with losing? Is that possible?
You sure?
I mean, not Bob Sapp, obviously, but yeah. I'm saying a guy like a guy like Pettis, who's been to the top.
Yeah,
you know, I mean,
it's hard, man. It comes down to your mental state. I mean, if someone said this, and I think it made sense to me, he goes, "This sport's either gonna make you or it's gonna fucking break you." And I think, you know, some guys don't come back. You know what I mean? Some guys get broken, or you know, and Pettis being the champion at the top, it just kind of. You know, it kind of comes down to how he's going to deal with, and it looks like he's like, I mean, at least from like social media, it looks like he's has no problem with that. But
nothing worse though than seeing a guy like, rest in peace, Kevin Randleman, Ken Shamrock, some of these guys that were at the top
BJ.
Of the top, BJ, even I wouldn't say Tito because Tito still, you know, he still wins fights, but you see, look at them, you go on these Sherdog and their records, and you see like. Oh, at one point they were 10-1 or, 11-0 or like Sean Salmon. Like some of these guys that even like they had great records.
Yeah.
And then you see like seven losses in a row.
Yeah.
Or, even Don Fry, we'll put him in that category. Or, you know, and you're just like, fuck, what happened? Did they get comfortable losing? Did they not give a shit? Was it just about the money? Did they?
Yeah, well, that's a trap too. A lot of guys fall into. They start making fucking money, and then they're just fighting for money. And that's when you start losing. Like trust me. There's so many things that can pull you away from being focused and winning. It's like money's a huge one. It's like, okay, you're gonna make this, you know, and then they start doing it just as a job. And
Jens,
like,
Pulver, let's put him in that category.
Exactly. Hell of a world champion.
And then to me, it's like sad because number one, it's like, okay, yeah, you beat Jens Pulver, but you didn't really beat Jens Pulver. You beat a shell of Jens Pulver. And,
right.
By the way, let me talk about something I wanted to talk about at last week's fight. So I was there. I was at the fight. And they put on Daniel Cormier on like the big thing, and everybody boos. I mean, I didn't boo, yeah. But a good majority of the people, the fans, booed. Or maybe it wasn't the majority, but people that were booing so loud, it felt like people booing Daniel Cormier. Then they put Mike Tyson on the screen, and you would think the Pope showed up. I mean, And look, I'm a Mike Tyson fan, okay? I'm not bashing Mike Tyson. But let's look at like who we should root for as a society. Cormier versus Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson, okay, he was knocking everybody out. He was a champion. He was great. Then, okay, he goes to jail, okay, for years. He was accused of charged of rape. I don't know if he raped the girl. I don't think he did, okay, based on following the thing. I don't think he raped the girl. However, he did go to jail for rape. Okay, let's not. And then he even said in an interview, look, I didn't rape her, but there's about seven things that I did where I should be in jail for, so I'll go to jail for one of those things. Which, on the surface, seems very noble. Like, wow. But what if he was like a mass murderer? Like, what if one of those seven things was like he was a serial killer? Okay, so that's like that could be terrible. Then he admits he when he was growing up, he was like robbing people, doing all kinds of shit. Then he gets out of jail. Okay, he goes back to jail for getting into a fight with an elderly couple after a car accident. He bites Holyfield's ear. Okay, he's been in and out of trouble for his whole life. And granted, he's talented, he's charismatic, he was in The Hangover, he has a great show on Broadway. Okay, yeah, yes, there's a lot of great things to cheer Mike Tyson for. Redemption factor. However, a lot of times, you know, if you were the family of whatever, of that Washington girl, and you think he raped her, I wouldn't be cheering for no Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Now, you look at Daniel Cormier.
Nicest guy in the world.
Nicest guy, two-time Olympian, I think captain of the wrestling team at OSU, captain of the Olympic team, captain of AKA, mentor, Fox analyst, lost one fight, never quit. Mike Tyson quit on the stool against Kevin McNeely, okay? He was losing against Holyfield, so he bites his fucking ear. That's a quitter to me. This guy never quit in his life, Daniel Cormier. Never quit, never did anything wrong, mm-hmm. and people are booing him. Like, Jake... Talk to me,
man. I don't get it. I'm a big Daniel Cormier fan, and I don't get it. It's, you know, it was, even you look at like the, you know, shows John Jones and all the shit he's done, and people are cheering for him. But it is, you know, you look at Mike Tyson, and I think like the entertainment factor comes in. You know, and he, you know, he was a monster. Like, he was a freak, and people love the freak show appeal. You know, he was knocking people out. He may not be a good person. He may have done a lot of really horrible things, but in the entertainment industry, that, you know, it doesn't matter, I think. But yeah, I'm that you know, it kind of bums me out too, because I'm a big DC fan and fucking super nice guy, you know, great family, great dad. Like, there's no reason not to like the guy.
Yeah,
I don't get it.
I mean, what are we doing here? And I understand. Yeah, you're right. He was knocking people out, but he's also knocking a lot of bums out. You know, he was knocking a lot of people out. That, I mean, Cormier is, you know, beats Dan Henderson. I mean. Murders Dan Henderson, beats Anthony Johnson. You could argue that Cormier beat better guys than Mike Tyson did so far.
He definitely, he's fought some murderers.
Beat Anderson Silva on, you know, took Silva came on the fight. Into his, he's lost one fight to John Jones, which I was there. He won 2 out of 5 rounds. Okay, he didn't win 3 rounds. One more round, he would have won. Anyway, that being said, it just baffles me. But, you know, people can root who they want. Paige VanZant versus Rowdy Beck. Looking forward to this fight.
Yes.
By the way, we were talking last time, who we'd rather sleep with, Paige VanZant or Rowdy Beck. Jake?
That's the
question, yeah.
Not who's going to win the
fight. No, no. Well, who do you think going to win the fight?
Yeah, well, let's start there. I don't... It's again, on paper, you would think Paige VanZant. However... She's been doing all, you know, she became this superstar overnight, doing Dancing with the Stars, that kind of thing. She's been out for a while. That can play a role. But, I like Rowdy Beck. She's a cool girl. She, you know, she trains down at Alliance. I think it's going to go the distance, man. I hate to play the fence.
Yeah.
But I'm actually leaning towards Beck. But I don't know, man.
Also, Paige never fought a puncher. Beck, you could say, is a puncher. I mean, she drops people. She hurts people.
Mm-hmm.
Paige VanZant has fought Felice Herrig, not really a puncher. Rowdy, she fought Rose Namajunas, not really a puncher either. Where Beck seems to actually have a little bit of pop in her.
Right.
But wrestling-wise, can Beck defend her takedown? Paige has good wrestling, good ground and pound. I'm pulling for Beck based on the fact that she's been on our podcast. And she's just cool chick. Lozon versus Miller. I got Lozon all day.
It's going to be a fun fight. This is number two, right?
Number two?
Joe Lozon, Jim Miller, number
two.
Yeah,
number two. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Miller won the first fight.
Did he?
Yeah.
How'd it go the first one?
I don't know. How. I think he...
It was submission.
I think he submitted him. Yeah, I just think...
Okay.
But I like this fight because there's two guys past their prime and they're not... You know, but it's still, they're still good, so capable of beating, you know, most people in their division.
Mm-hmm.
And I like this fight. I like it when they pair guys like, you know, guys that are a little older against each other. I don't like it like that Mike Pyle fight I went to last time, where he fought that young kid that just knee him to death and put him to sleep. I was like,
oh, the Brazilian?
Yeah.
He was training at Kings. I had no idea they were even fighting. Like, because I was watching the fight, because I knew he had a fight coming up, the Brazilian kid. And then I was watching the fights, and I was like, oh, he's fighting Pyle. Like, and that, I was surprised how that ended.
That kid was good, though, right?
Yeah, he's pretty good.
You don't think he's that good?
Well, I don't know. To be honest, it's hard to say. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that was insane. I was like, fuck. But then you knocked out Pyle in what, 12 seconds?
No, that was...
Pele. You knocked out. Second round?
Yeah, Pyle was like second round, yeah.
Second round.
Right away in the second round. But he was... Yeah, that was my first win in the UFC.
Is it weird having so much power in those hands? Like, you ever, like, finger bang a chick and then she just, like, fucking, like passes out?
No, that hasn't happened yet.
All right.
Not quite.
Not yet. Okay, not yet. So there's still a chance.
Yeah, right.
Sam Alvey versus Kevin Casey.
Sam Alvey.
The guy who smiles all the time.
Smiling.
Sam Alvey. You know him. Okay. Kevin Casey, he's the guy that made the rap song with Spencer Pratt. No retreat, no surrender. He's a black belt under Gracie.
Hicks and Gracie.
Yeah.
He trains with Huron and Henry at the Gracie camp. If it goes to the ground, I would definitely give it to Casey.
Yeah, but he doesn't do his jiu-jitsu in fights for some reason.
That's the thing, too, man. It's like I would be just training takedowns if I was a jiu-jitsu guy. It's like, because you can't get the fight to the ground, it's...
Yeah.
How are you going to use any of them skills?
If you were going to recommend... Like, when I go back to training... I'm going to go back to training, and I'm going to do most. What do you recommend? What do you think is the most important martial art for a street fight?
Street fight?
Yeah.
Boxing?
I don't know, because in a street fight, you don't. They're so quick, and it's almost like tech. I mean, you should learn some techniques, like the fundamentals, but there's no point of, fine tuning this precision of. It's just like you're in a street fight.
Probably boxing and wrestling, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, wrestling won't hurt, but I mean, fuck, man, that's a good question. Kickboxing, striking.
Have you ever seen a kick in a street fight? I've never seen a kick in a street fight.
No, but you see a lot of clinching. You know what I mean? The head clinch, but I don't know, man. I wouldn't even say a specific martial art. It would definitely be a striking art, but and be able to not go to the ground.
When's your brother fighting again? Is he fighting again?
Yeah, he's not scheduled, but he's been training. So, yeah, he was out for a while. He had an operation on his eye, the whole torn retina. Did I tell you about that?
No.
Well, he was out for about a year because he had a torn retina from his first fight in the UFC, but they didn't see it till like 6 or 8 months after.
Did he see it or they didn't see it?
No, well, they didn't find it. You know what I mean? Until whatever, because he had gotten eye exams, but you have to see like a retina specialist to see the back of the eye.
Fuck.
But anyway, yeah, he was out for about a year, but he's been training, so. Nothing scheduled yet.
Is it weird that you and Joe are in such good shape and Adam isn't? Do you guys give him a hard time at all or no?
Nah. Well, the funny part is, like, we were talking about growing up, and I was like, man, Adam fought more than both of us did.
Really?
Yeah, he at a party, at a bar, whatever.
Do you and your brother ever, like, take off your shirts just to fuck with him, like in pictures?
No. He doesn't give a shit. He doesn't care. He's funny. He really don't care.
I like your brother. Your brother's cool.
So, all right, guys. So let's just drop this. This like upcoming couple months. There's like the UFC every single weekend, right?
Yes.
So let's just run down like the next five, and I want you guys to say which one you're looking forward to the most.
All right, let's go.
Maya Condit, Arvlosky Barnett, Miocic Overeem, Poirier Johnson, Cyborg versus Landsberg, and then Lineker versus Dodson.
Well. Heavyweights are always fun. I mean, we watched that Stipe versus Overeem fight. Right. I mean, we watched him versus Dos Santos. Verdum. Right. I think Stipe can beat Overeem, but...
He can.
Getting out of that first round is going to be tough.
You know, I was thinking about the fight on the way here, and I was like, man, I kind of think Overeem might get him, but, he's been knocked out a few times.
And it's in Cleveland.
Stipe can touch him.
He's going to have the whole Cleveland behind him.
Yeah.
They're very prideful, those Cleveland people.
Yeah, it's a great city. I love Cleveland.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Stipe.
And then the Arlovsky-Barnett, that's a tough one to pick, too. Because you're like, how much does Arlovsky have left? Barnett is a bigger guy. I mean, even though it doesn't look like he has power, he's got power.
But you look at like the Arlovsky and Travis Brown fight, that was crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, no one counted Arlovsky in that fight.
Well, I know he was training with Edmund, so I was like, I had all my money on.
Really?
Yeah, I'm kidding.
You had all your money on Arlovski.
Yeah,
of course you did.
I'm kidding.
But yeah, I don't. Man,
I don't know. That's a weird fight.
You would lean towards Barnett, but
I'm leaning towards Barnett just based. But
I don't know.
You know, sometimes Barnett gets hurt. I mean, yeah, you're right. You look at Travis Brown, like murdered Barnett, but Arlovski murdered Travis Brown. But MMA math doesn't really work that well.
Yeah, no.
You know, so. And it's probably the worst math in the world is MMA math, right? Because it's so hard to pick.
That's why I bet props, man. It's like, I mean, like I said, unless there's a big underdog and the value's there, then there's like, I bet props. Not that anyone gives a shit about my betting
I do. Advice. So Nick Diaz and his boys got jumped.
Really?
At Hyde nightclub.
I thought it was just Nick in the bathroom.
Oh, Nick in the bathroom.
Yeah, by four guys.
He says three guys didn't know who he was and started mouthing off to him. The brawl went outside of the bathroom, but Nick said he got the best of them. I don't know if I believe this story, because who's not? If you're a meathead at Hyde at 5 in the morning, do you not know who Nick Diaz is? And why would you try to fight Nick
Unless
Diaz?
Unless they're real fucked up and just can't even see his face very well.
And why would you talk shit to Nick Diaz? I mean, it's just in the bathroom as your dick out.
Guys,
like,
and guys, they get super tough when they're with their boys. You know, I mean, there's like three or four of them. Then they're not by themselves. You know what I mean? They get a little.
I feel like they might have been like, "Can we take a picture with you?" And he said, "No, I'm fuck. I'm taking a shit right now. I'm taking a piss.
Why would you take a shit at the club?
Get the fuck away from me." And then next thing you know, a fucking fight broke out.
That could be.
Yeah, it's strange, right? Why would you? Who wants to fight in the bathroom?
We never get all the details, you know. It's like, sure, that's.
Who's gonna jump Nick Diaz? Yeah. I mean, that's just crazy.
Is he? Is he? He's off his suspension, right?
I think so. I mean, you never know, the Diaz brothers. So
we met Woodley trying to fight Diaz.
Oh, Woodley wants to fight anybody but Wonderboy.
Oh, I know.
He does not want to fight Wonderboy.
He's dodging that like the plague.
Not
Do
that
you
I
think
blame
he deserves
him.
To be able to just pick
no,
who he fights
fuck
next.
No. You're the champ. You welcome any and all comers.
I think
that's my stance. If I'm the champ, right. I don't. You know what I mean? If it's his turn, you know, like fuck the UFC says who I'm fighting next. That's just my opinion.
You're the champ. You fight the number one contender. Right. Mandatory. Exactly. That's exactly. It. Otherwise, what's the point of having the rankings?
It has nothing in it. For me, it has nothing to do with Woodley. It just has to do with, like, you're the champ. Like, you fight the next best guy.
Here's the problem is you got guys like Henderson fighting Bisping. That completely fucks up once that happens, everyone says, oh, you could fight the number 12 guy and you're the champ. Fuck it. I'll just rack up the money.
Yeah,
I mean,
well.
I understand he beat him, but it was at UFC 100. That was
like 10 years ago.
102. That was 102 UFCs ago, not including the fight nights and whatever
put
else.
It that way, that's a long lot of UFCs.
102 ago. UFCs ago, yes, he got beat by Dan Henderson. So now he's not even. He beat Hector Lombard, who came up from 170. So he didn't even beat a guy in the division, and now you're letting him fight the champ. So when that happens, Tyron Woodley goes. Well, if he gets to fight Dan Henderson,
well, yeah,
so
I
then
mean,
I get to fight fucking Carrot Top, you know?
Dan Henderson's got to be one of the only cases that you could argue being he has been the champ before, you know, pride champ, that kind of thing. But
and Carrot Top brings pops to the cage, but it's bullshit.
I get what you're saying. You know, the ranking it messes like, the rankings up.
The way I see it is like it's like saying, look, okay, the Lakers were a 500 team this year. They didn't make the playoffs. But you know what? They do really good ratings, so they're in the play. They're in the finals. Mm-hmm. They get to fucking jump the whole playoffs and go to the finals.
Well, you could be fucking Luke Rockhold and be like, why am I fighting Michael Bisping?
Well, that's because Wyman pulled out.
Well, still, was he number three?
Yeah, he kind of was. He was the guy. It was like Jacare was hurt. Yoel was suspended. And then I think Tim Kennedy was like retired or something or, you know, whatever. I mean, Derek Brunson is like number 9, so Bisping was like right there.
Yeah, I mean, if you put yourself in Joe Silva, Dana's shoes, it's like it's tough because the MMA ranking system math, it's all hard to make it work.
But here's the problem, though. The problem is they're going for like, okay, Bisping versus Hendo is going to sell tickets. Mm-hmm. It will.
Right.
They're going to fight in England. Everyone in England's going to be behind Bisping.
Right.
Hendo fans, whatever. It's his last fight ever. It's like a Rocky story. It's
well,
it basically
if he wins, it ain't his last fight.
Yeah, and it is like Rocky Balboa in some ways. He gets to have one last fight. Okay, however, it's short-term thinking. In the long term, it's going to fuck up precedent. Because now you're going to say, okay, being number one or two doesn't really matter. I mean, look at it. They're having the Ultimate Fighter season. The next Ultimate Fighter is a bunch of fighters living in the house to compete at who gets the title shot. And right. That, to me, that's bullshit. What's the point of being ranked number two or one if you're going to be able to be leapfrogged by
number
30?
All those fighters in the house are actually champions from other like organizations,
that's
right?
That's great. And you know what? I was the Class A wrestling champ of 1997. I don't get a title shot in the UFC.
That's true. You might.
It's come on.
45, Adam. He's going to fight Aldo.
Yeah, right. So, by the way, they're
How
saying...
How long would you last if that wouldn't...
Against
that
Aldo?
Yeah.
I don't know. It depends on when I'm turtling up.
Unless you're on that TRT, you know.
How long would I last with Aldo? I would not get out of the first round.
You made the second round?
No. I mean, I would go for wrestling. I would just I would stay away as long as I could.
Just take him down.
And then I would just try to double leg him against the cage and just hold on. And that's all I would do. I mean, maybe tickle him or something. You know, foot stomps. Fucking 5 minutes of foot stomps. See how that works.
Yeah.
Yeah,
foot
I would not.
Foot stomps are funny.
I wouldn't last a round with anybody in the UFC. I mean, at 125 wouldn't last a round.
I don't know. There's some fucking chuds in the UFC.
About a female fighter.
Like,
I don't know.
Paige Van Zandt.
Fighting or
yeah, fighting in the
opposed to
fighting or sex. Whatever, okay. Sex absolutely would not last a round.
Be a lot shorter than a fight.
I reckon wouldn't last a walkout. Dude, I remember one of the worst times I've ever had sex was like I went to the strip club and I went off my anxiety medication because like I'm on Celexa, it takes forever to come, like which is good, but I went off it. And which then it was like I went like I was in turbo mode, like just so I was a long time ago. I went to this this girl in Arizona. She I think I busted in like 4 seconds, and she's like,
"All right."
She goes, "When was the last time you got laid?" That's not what you want to hear after sex. That's like that's not what you want to hear ever. When was the last time you got laid?
That's what was tremendous. What was your answer?
I was like, "You're so hot," or something. Right?
Perfect answer.
I was like, "Round two would be better," and it was, but it still, it was like, you know, it's never better. Round two is always like, you know. So, yeah, man. So, Jake, so are you back at Kings?
Yeah, I've been in there a couple days a week, 2-3 days a week. So,
now how hard was the cut to 70?
No, it wasn't bad. Yeah, I mean, I think I landed in Atlanta about 183, so.
How nervous were you about getting cut? Is that a true story? Did you really go to
That's
Vegas and you begged Dana?
I didn't, but we just had a conversation. Like, let me, I'll just go into it. So, there was a lot of talk, and this was like one of the, you know, it's one of the situations where you're like, no news is good news kind of thing. But, you know, I was actually... I had already set up a meeting with Dana, so I was fortunate enough to have a relationship with him. I hit him up and said, "Yeah, no problem." So I went up there and met him, and so he was telling me, you know, this is what they're thinking, you know. And I was like, I mean, it wasn't, you know, it was a real pretty quick conversation, you know. I said, you know, give me one more chance, and he did. But yeah, that was a true story.
So it wasn't, you got on your hands and knees, you're like, "Please, Dana, I don't want to go to Bellator," and you were crying, and like you were throwing in perks and stuff and offering your wife. No, none of that it didn't happen.
Yeah, no, that's not
That's the way it made it seem a little bit, right?
Right.
Now, did you read the article? It seemed like you
it
seemed like you were begging, like, you
no
were, oh, okay.
No, you know, it's just, we had a man-to-man conversation.
Oh,
like,
okay.
This is, you know, this is how I didn't, I've really, you know, I value the relationship I had with him in the UFC, and I've always been a company guy, and I'm like, shit, I've been in the UFC 7 years, man. Like, this is not how I want it to end, and just give me one more shot.
I was so, dude, I was,
and then
like,
I was like, "Yeah, you're fighting Matt Brown."
I knew it was gonna happen. I knew you were gonna win. For some reason, I just knew it. I kept saying it. I'm like, it's a great matchup for Jake. You know, I'm like, he's back. He's out of his head. You know, he's like not training how to, you know, take away IEDs from, you know, fields and stuff. Like, I was really, I knew it. I don't know why I knew it. It was one of those things. And people were telling me, they're like, "I should have listened to you. I should have listened to you." So.
Is that when you say, "I told you, motherfucker"?
I did. I know. Because I also, like, every fight that you've lost, you've had the guy hurt. You had Tarek hurt. Mm-hmm. You had Brown hurt. I mean, you had Wonderboy hurt. So those fights could have went your way. It was just, you know, it wasn't like you got dominated. I mean, you had these guys hurt.
Right. Exactly. Is what it is, you know. So
how annoying is it people giving you advice? Do you just tune out?
You got it, man. You got to tune that. It's hard. I don't even get on social media a lot. Like before fights, I don't. But it's everyone's gonna on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter is going to tell you what you should do, what you shouldn't do, that kind of thing. But
well, last night you tweeted, there are some really incredible minds on Twitter. That was a joke, right?
No, I was...
You were fucking around.
That was true.
Are you being serious or no? I can't tell. Like sometimes you're so fucking obnoxious. I can't tell. I can see you laughing at your own jokes. Like, it's fucking ridiculous.
It's funny. I get a kick out of it. I get a laugh out of it.
Nice. So, did your kid see the fight?
Yeah. His attention span's not really that long, but he watched a little bit.
What'd he say?
So that's what he gave me a fist bump. So that's what I fucking thought.
Really?
he can't even talk, Adam. 13 months.
Oh, he didn't like.
He can't even talk. What'd he say?
Your kid didn't give you advice on fighting? Was he like, hey, Dad, this is what you gotta do?
He'll come up and fucking hit me, no problem.
Really?
Yeah. Like when I'm laying down, I'll come up and just like smack me in the face or the nuts, and I'm like, "Really?
Do you laugh or you or no?"
Yeah, it's. I mean, it is. We wrestle. We play fight. It's fun.
All right. Well, listen, I gotta get going. I got a show for the military tonight in San Diego. I gotta drive to San Diego.
Where at?
One of the forts, like past San Diego. I'll be at Bellator tomorrow. Tuesday, I'm at the Irvine Improv. Want to come to Irvine
Tuesday?
Improv? Yeah. Tuesday night?
For sure.
You going to come? Nice.
Right by my house, bro.
Right by your house, man.
Five minutes.
It is so good talking to you, man. Like, I missed you. I really missed you, man. Any questions for Jake, Joe?
All right. I have some fan questions.
Let's do it.
First one is from my brother-in-law, Jake Duncan. He wants to know if you can fight any MMA fighter from the past, UFC, Bellator, any organization, who would it be?
So any MMA fighter, pretty much?
Any MMA fighter, anyone.
You know, I always wanted to fight GSP. Just
right.
Because, you know, and I'm saying that out of respect. Like, the guy was one of the guys that we've all looked up to, you know, mm-hmm. when, especially when I was, like, coming up, when I first started training. And just to see what he's done, it'd be an honor to fight a guy like GSP, yeah.
You might have a chance. He's coming back, right?
Yes.
Possibly.
Yeah, it's the same. UFC 206.
Really?
Yeah, in Toronto.
I hope he does.
In Toronto.
You know, it'd be fun to see him fight.
Who do you think they put him up against?
I don't know. We'll see how CM Punk does against Mickey Gall.
Oh, shit.
And
You're watching that? The CM Punk thing?
I did. I'm not
it's
watching.
It's so ridiculous. They're like making like a reality show with him and his wife. His wife doesn't want to watch him fight.
His wife's hot, though, right?
She's really small. But yeah, she's hot.
Okay. You didn't answer. Yeah, is she hot or? I just wanted.
All right. Was that the only question you had?
All right. So, yeah, that's the only question I had.
All right. Jake. Yeah. Joe has been trouble getting laid. Like, he only gets fours. He finally got one girl that was above a four.
Okay. Yeah,
not years old. Like, I'm like a four. Like a 4 out of 10.
Thank you for clarifying.
All right. Now, Jake, I know you've only been with one girl. But
really?
she's smoking hot, right? They're all dimes, okay? All the one chick that you've had sex with. what's your advice for Joe getting hotter chicks?
Yes, what's your advice?
Where are you looking, first of all? Where's the lake we're fishing in?
Well, I don't really like girls my age.
Yeah, you like the older? Or you like
I like... if I had to pick between Beck and Paige Van Zandt, it's hard for me because Paige, she's really pretty, but then Beck, she's a mom, and that's like, boom, all right, I got to go with Beck.
You like moms?
Oh, yeah.
Are you close to your mom?
No, yes, the moms are like, I'll take care of you, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. Joe knows what's up.
So, like, any advice to talk to older women? What do you think they like?
Well,
I'm looking for a sugar
like,
mom.
Are we talking like 5 years older, 10 years older?
I'm talking like 20, 15, 30 years.
30 Like, how old are you? Like,
I'm 20 years old.
All right, so you're like,
you want a 50 year old?
Oh, I've been there. That wasn't too bad.
Yeah,
so you know,
you want your girls that are almost dead.
Yeah, that can leap, put me in the will somewhere.
In the
leave me a Subway gift card or something.
Yell out bingo during sex and stuff. Yeah. All right. This is the weird fucking. Okay. Listen, we're going to end the show. Listen. So,
bingo.
Next week, I will be in Naples, Florida, at Off the Hook Comedy Club. If you like this podcast, you could tip us on Tip a Fighter. Jake, anything coming up?
No, nothing yet, man. I'm just got a couple of trips coming up. That's yeah. I'm looking to. November, they're in talks right now, so nothing's set yet.
And now, Jake, if our fans ask you relationship questions, will you answer them?
Sure.
So hashtag ask Jake, okay, on Twitter. Ask Jake any types of relationship questions you want. Okay,
fucking Dr. Drew.
Yes, Jake. We have the new Dr. Ellenberger. Okay, Jack. Jake will answer any type of sex questions. Anything about your dick not working, guys? Jake loves to answer those questions. Right.
I know everything. Yeah. Right. Just no.
Yes.
Yeah.
So ask Jake. Hashtag ask Jake. He will answer all of your questions all day long about sex and getting laid. He's great at it. All right. So
we're gonna make this a thing.
We're gonna make this. Hashtag ask Jake, okay?
Ask Jake.
Yep. All right, listen, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend. Take care.